You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. The local, the state, the national, man, we're covering down on all of the issues and, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is, what day is this? Tuesday? This is Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I had to stop and think for a second. It is Tuesday, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Yeah. It's getting colder out there, too.
It's getting colder. I felt a little couple ice drops today, and then it went away back to rain. But
did it really?
I was happy for about 5 seconds.
So you're looking for snow is what I'm hearing.
Yes, I love some snow.
All right. Well, you live in Alabama, so your hopes get dashed on a regular basis around here. You can't buy milk and bread at the store if they talk about snow, but then you don't get snow after all. But
yeah, it's all right.
How many times, by the way, I know you've seen it, how many times here in North Alabama have kids been let out of school for nothing?
So many times.
All right, folks, we got a great show laid on for you at 3:30 p.m. One of our regular callers, Stephanie Smith, will be on the line with us. Going to be talking about Birmingham Southern College. You're going to want to hear this. If you haven't been tracking, there's an interesting dynamic going on with Birmingham Southern. Stephanie will be on at 3:30 to talk about it. That's a part of our Triple Dipper, so let me just do that now. Hit it, bud.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So here's number one. I didn't get to it yesterday or the day before that. Live free or die. We're going down that road first. Second Amendment attempts to infringe upon are happening left and right. So we're going to talk about, live free or die. What are liberals trying to do? What's the latest? How about court rulings? What are state legislatures up to? And what's the Biden administration trying to do, and is it even effective? And I'll tell you about it. Number one of the Triple Dipper, live free or die. And number two, the Birmingham Southern bailout. Okay, if you have not heard, Birmingham Southern, a private college, a great reputation, been around for many years. I believe my grandmother went there. But all that to say, they are in a financial crisis. Now, some would say, that could be on them. That's their doing. But they also, by the way, have, in recent history, said, hey, we're a private college. You can't make us do those things. But now they want public dollars. They want a $30-plus million bailout. We'll talk about it. Birmingham Southern bailout, number two on the Triple Dipper. Number three, it happens periodically. You have to. What do you do? I mean, when you've got a smorgasbord of stuff, a veritable charcuterie board of madness, when you've got a buffet, a cornucopia, if you will, of wokeness, what do you do? Adventures in Woke Worlds. And we'll do that as number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over to my comments. Let me kick off the show with this. I saw a story. Let me tell you right up front. I saw a story, and it's been about a year, but it was on the news. It just fired me up, man, in a good way. Fired me up. You know, it's easy to get down on modern culture and question whether or not everyday folks have lost their ability to do the right thing, even when it's hard. But the best stories, the best movies, the stuff of which legends get told, those are not about the feckless individuals who stand idly by and pull their cell phones out to film bad things happening and just watch good people suffer harm. No, it's the everyday folks who jump in and instinctively do that which is necessary to right a wrong, confront a bully, stop an enemy, that creates local heroes. All right, so the video I was talking about that fired me up, I thought it'd be worthwhile to pause and just consider the story about that young man in the video. In Lemon Township, Ohio, a guy named Deshaun Presley, he was in line to buy groceries. He had just greeted 87-year-old Pat Goins, who was buying groceries herself, and he relates that suddenly he heard Ms. Goins yell for help as a thief right there inside the store had snatched her purse and was trying to run out the door of the store. So without hesitation, Presley pursued the man, tackled him in the parking lot, recovered the purse, and even held the guy until the police arrived. I watched the video as he hugged Mrs. Goins at a ceremony where the sheriff of Butler County, Ohio, presented him with a citation for bravery. Deshaun Presley was asked about the event. He said his mother had died when he was young, and he was raised by his grandmother, who he credited as having instilled in him the values to help others. In his words, she did very good by me. It was good that she taught me what she taught me, and I'm thankful for her. It was a great story, man. It was great. Very heartwarming to see a grateful Mrs. Goins hug his neck. I think it also, by the way, defeats a lot of the narratives out there because Deshaun Presley is a young black man and Miss Pat Goins is an elderly white woman. It was awesome to see all those current racial narratives we talk about on the show here being defeated by good, honest folks who just choose to do right by others, who choose not to be risk-averse. So what's that term there? Risk-averse. It's a term that I think too often describes our current culture. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines risk-averse as disinclined or reluctant to take risks. Now, keep in mind, risk-averse is not the same thing as being cautious. I mean, I love shooting sports, but I practice gun safety. I was a paratrooper, but I always went through pre-jump inspection and wore a reserve chute. I'm a lawyer, but I always advise my clients when I don't believe they have a good case. Taking risk is part of the pathway to success. No way around that truth. If we don't take risks, we become stagnant. I heard a quote once that a ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what ships were made for. But I'm afraid that our modern culture has too often shied away from the pioneering spirit that made this country great. Think about it. Can you imagine what it took to put all that you own in a covered wagon and head west into the great unknown? Can you imagine what it took for the Wright brothers to launch themselves into the air for the very first time? Or for Neil Armstrong to step out of an Earth-made capsule filled with Earth-made air onto the surface of another planet altogether? I mean, what would have happened if JFK had blinked when the Soviets were putting missiles in Cuba? Or what if Neville Chamberlain had remained Prime Minister of England throughout World War II with his bent for appeasement? Or what if Jesse Owens had decided it was too intimidating as a black man to compete in Hitler's Olympics? One recent article in the New York Post in the early stages of the COVID pandemic recalled the national Asian flu and Hong Kong flu, which had been pandemics both in the mid-20th century. And it recounted how when those pandemics hit, society did not shut down. People simply went about their business, maybe more cautiously, but nonetheless without panic. Contrast that reaction to the massive outcries we saw recently for government intervention and massive spending to rescue us from risk during COVID. The generation for the two prior pandemics had just won World War II, in which 405,000 Americans lost their lives. And the author of that article opined that it appeared that today's generation was far more risk-averse, having nothing of great substance to have trained their version of society to see risk as a challenge rather than an obstacle. Did you catch that? Risk should be nothing more than a challenge, not an obstacle. So can taking risks hurt? Well, short answer is yes. But that's what makes taking risks so worthwhile. The idea that you stepped out on faith. You might bear the scars, but you'll have the stories. A few years back, I think I may have said it on the show before, I was sitting on the floor in our den. I went to get up off the floor. I creaked, I popped, I grunted. You know, I got myself up. My daughter asked, "What's the matter, Dad?" I said, "Nothing, darling. Just getting old and crickety." She said, "Well, I don't like hearing that." To which I replied, "Well, darling, I'd rather be old and crickety and full of the memories it took to get there than to have no aches and pains and nothing to show for my life." And she said, "I agree with that." Eleanor Roosevelt said that we should do at least one thing every day that scares us to death. Well, let me tell you, I built a whole life out of shaving the corners off square pegs and making them fit in round holes. I've got some scars, too, but I've also got some memories that make it all worthwhile, and I would not trade one of my scars for backtracking on the days of risk that caused them. If we as a society are going to maintain our place in the history of the world, we must be at a society of boldness, a society of individuals who will step out, individually or corporately, to do the hard, uncomfortable, sweaty, greasy, sleep-depriving things that set us apart. Greatness is not found in timidity. Scripture tells us God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but one of power and love and self-discipline. So a willingness to risk, and coupled with wisdom, timing, and preparation, by the way, is what is needed more and more today. So I want to encourage you, if you're stuck, if you've been debating that move, that job, that ability to get back into society, that question of whether to ask that person on a date or whether to run for office or start that business, pray about it, examine it, ask for some wise counsel, but above all, know this, it will be risky. Just accept that up front. It will be risky, but that makes it all the more worthwhile. It doesn't matter whether you're the president of the free world or just a young guy in a grocery line who sees a bad thing happen. Risks are part of life, and they're part of what makes life worthwhile. So get her done, Right Side Ruffians. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Risk averse. Too often that's the case, man. I'm just telling you. It's sad to see a society that wants to hunker down. Just hunker down. Oh, it's scary out there. And if you think about it, the COVID pandemic we just went through, the fear of COVID became more, you know, pervasive sometimes than the disease itself. Risk averse? No. Risk takers? That's what we need. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got a whole lot more where that came from. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I almost forgot to unmute, Boomer. I saw you go for it.
I was like, oh, good job, Phil, good job.
You were being nice. You weren't going to say
I wasn't going to say anything.
I just outed myself. It was right there. All right. Hey, by the way, folks, listen, the show has so many means by which you can catch what we're doing, or for that matter, catch it twice or see it later. But just know this. Right now, our website, rightsideradio.org, is pretty full. It's got a lot of stuff on it right there. I mean, like right now, you can watch the live stream of the show, meaning that if you want to go to rightsideradio.org, you can just watch the inside of the Right Side studio and see what we're doing and, you know, just, you know, watch the interior workings, which I don't know, maybe like watching a gerbil in a cage. I don't know. But anyway, all that saying, we got that option. You can also live stream the audio of the show from our website. That's on there, too, just in case you're driving down the road and you want to track it because you're losing our overly broad AM/FM capabilities. And then, Boomer, you've got where all are we right now?
Oh, man, we are video streaming to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and our website.
So just they can just go on Facebook and check out Right Side Radio, and bam, there it is.
Yeah, right there. And then like on Instagram, if you're an Instagrammer, Right Side Radio, that's where it is.
Although, what the heck happened with Instagram yesterday?
Oh, man. So apparently...
I'm like, what is this?
So we were sitting at home, and Phil texts me. He goes, what is going on?
That's
and
not what I said. I said, what?
What just happened? And Instagram apparently took off our show that I was just going to go post right after the show on Instagram. They took it off because because it said for nudity and
sexual content.
I'm
like, what the heck?
I was like, Phil, did you take off your shirt when I wasn't watching? No. I don't know.
Not that I recall.
I have no clue.
I mean, this is a family-friendly show.
Yeah.
So, I have no explanation for that.
Me neither.
None. Yeah.
Zero.
We don't know what happened. All we know is the show is streaming live on our social, and ain't nobody said nothing. Although YouTube keeps gigging us because they don't like us using certain music or whatever. Even though we check out all of our bumps in advance, we know we've taken them from the right sourcing so that we're not in violation of copyright laws, and no.
They still don't like us.
YouTube is just, they're just, YouTube does what YouTube does. All right. Well, listen, all that's on there. But if you want to see it all, by the way, we podcast the show too. That's the other thing is after the show is over every single day, Boomer uploads the show in podcast form, all the various outlets. You can go get it from Podbean, Apple, iTunes. Well, I mean, Apple is iTunes. What's the other one? Google. Basically, whatever your format is, search out Right Side Radio. You'll find it. Like 102,000 plus downloads of the podcast now.
Yep.
Second biggest audience, still California, bud?
Still California.
Still California.
You know who's catching
Hello,
up
California.
Is
we
Ohio.
Love you. Ohio's catching up.
Ohio's catching up.
Really?
Yeah. They came out of the blue.
That's cool. Okay. All right. Well, Chicago and Ohio, we love you. Hang in there. We're going to keep holding the fort down south. And by the way, you're welcome to join us. Don't bring your politics with you. That'd be fine. Mm-hmm. But, yep, lots of things happening. Hey, we're going to jump into number one of the Triple Dipper here in a minute. But I got to ask you, Boomer, so Christmas traditions.
What? Oh, yes.
You got any things at your house that are like things that you have to, like these are the traditions that you're
yes.
going to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so one that we started with, you know, my wife and I, we started, super sweet, every Christmas Eve we give each other a Christmas ornament, but what happened with my family before, you know, awesome. The one thing I love doing is at my aunt's house here in Alabama, we have Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah.
Well, after the dinner, we have a Nerf gun war inside the house.
This is a tradition?
This is a tradition.
Like, it's time for the annual Christmas Nerf gun war.
No, it's usually like right after dinner, someone randomly pulls out the Nerf gun. They're all sitting out now around the house, so someone just literally pulls it out and just shoots somebody, and then it's game on.
Okay, how many things have been broken in the house?
A lot. They have to put things away now, I'm sure, that, you know, so you don't have to do that. But we have also, we have a cook-off.
A cook-off?
Yep, so everybody sometimes has to... we decide what the deal is for the year, if it's an appetizer, if it's a main course. And everybody decides what they want to, you know, bake.
I like this.
And then you have the cook-off, and then everybody, you know.
I like traditions involving food.
Everybody judges, and then whoever wins gets the trophy for the year.
Does everybody know whose is whose, or you bring them all? And no. It's like it's a test in the blind.
Test in the blind.
Mm,
it's nice. So it's a fun
test.
One, too.
Okay.
So we got some fun ones.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't even know that we have
any. Got a couple more, but yeah.
I need to go tell Charlene we need some like food-oriented traditions.
Well, and then there's my Christmas party.
There is that. With
it's
you.
A character Christmas party. Everybody here, hey, you dressed up.
I did.
Yeah, you and Charlene dressed up, but everybody's getting used to it. You have to dress up as a Christmas character. We've done that for about 8 years,
so
9 years.
You wore the Abominable Snowman costume.
I did wear the Abominable Snowman.
Which was pretty epic. I think you need to post a picture on our website of you and your Abominable Snowman costume.
I may have to. Wish everybody a right side Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we'll do it. Well, listen, folks, I hope out there you guys have some great traditions. I would love to hear what some of them are. If you want to text them in, 833-687-4448. Tell us what your family traditions are. I can tell you, when our kids were little, of course, they're not now, and now we have grandkids. Our kids are grown. They're both married. They're out of the house. They're paying their own bills. And we used to have a tradition that every year I would wake them up for Christmas to go down the hall and see what Santa Claus did. And everybody had on, like, basically the same, like, long, like, almost ankle length or calf length red and white striped nightshirt. And we would have to go down the hall by candlelight. And I'd have to wake the kids up. They couldn't run down the hall. They had to walk with me by candlelight. And the only light we had on was the candle and the Christmas tree. And
oh, that's pretty cool.
And we have some good pictures. But we also had the times like, Dad, walk faster. I can't. It'll blow the candle out. Anyway, good times, man.
Great.
Good times. Text me in. Tell me what your Christmas traditions were throughout the show. We'll read a few out. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We're going to come back from this break. We're going to jump right in. Number one of the Triple Dipper, live free or die. What are they doing with our Second Amendment? Well, they're always trying to gerrymander it. I'll tell you more about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, I just one of our listeners, Big Dave. Big Dave, you know who you are. Big Dave, just let me know that I'm too fast with that phone number. He says slow it down for the old folks. So, Big Dave, this is for you. The number's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT.
Oh, we love you, Big Dave. That's awesome.
We do, Big Dave. You are amazing. We need to get him back up here at the studio to see us sometime soon.
We do.
Yeah, we're overdue.
I like that.
Big Dave, you come on to see us, brother. We love you. 833-687-4448. Any given time, we'll take those calls and texts. And I want to hear your traditions, your Christmas traditions on text.
You also got a text from someone talking about traditions.
Which one?
No, right there on your phone.
Oh, I did. I did. The lovely Charlene says, "You sound like we don't have any traditions." I know, baby. I know we have traditions, honey. I know we do. We have lots of. We have great traditions. We have our Christmas Eve traditions. We have, you know, the gatherings at certain times. We have the food that we eat. We have now. We have, by the way, even newer traditions because we have grandbabies. So you're starting to brew up some new ones, and then we have our stockings, which the stockings are our traditions for. We do our Christmas gathering as a family the night on Christmas Eve, thereabouts. Or we have to pick a night now because, you know, kids are married and stuff like that. But then Christmas morning is stockings, which for us are like an extra round of Christmas. It's like robust stockings, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I know, baby, we have good fun on Christmas. So anyway, all that to say. All right, hey, listen, I got another. Oh, by the way, Boomer, with regards to your Nerf gun wars,
yeah.
Paul from Athens texted in, says they would try to confiscate his Nerf gun because it has a 20-round magazine.
They wouldn't allow it in Oregon either.
Probably not. Well, I don't know, though, because as I go into what a great segue, Boomer. I like how you see how you did that? All right, so, yeah, I'm going to number one of the Triple Dipper. Live free or die, the Second Amendment. What is the latest on what is happening or attempted to be perpetrated upon our Second Amendment rights? The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, they love infringing. Infringing is what they do. And I found the most ridiculous article in the Cullman Times. Cullman Times, why would you even write this article? And by the way, it's a fairly lengthy article filled with dogma and liberal talking points. But it's obvious that the Cullman Times is not aware of what state they're located in. Headline, from July of this year, keep in mind Alabama just passed not just open carry, but permitless open carry and permitless concealed carry this year. All right? We've always been permitless open carry. Permitless concealed carry along with our open carry. Thank you very much. Here's a headline. You ready? Amid recurrent gun violence, Alabama and Georgia haven't tightened gun laws in decades. Do they know where they live? Why is this even a story? All right. It says, while mass shootings and gun violence continue to plague the country and spark debate over gun laws, Georgia and Alabama are among several states that have not or are likely not to impose firearm restrictions at the state level. Well, that's like a major duh. I mean, why would you? So they got a guy named Frederick Vars, who is apparently a law professor at the University of Alabama, who has written numerous journals and books about gun control and violence. All right, prepare yourselves. He says, I know much has been written about a kind of connection to making sure that slaves don't get guns. Do you see where we're going here? They went straight to racial discrimination, slavery from 150 years ago, gun control laws of today. It makes no sense. Anyway, he says, this is Vars again. He goes, I think we may be getting farther away from the original intent, as I understand it, but then again, I'm not a historian. No, we're not. We're not getting further away from the original intent at all. The current determination by the Supreme Court of the United States in the Heller decision is literally, and by the way, the Bruin decision most recently this year, is literally an interpretation of the Constitution. It's not a new interpretation. It is saying, here's what the foundations of our liberties are. Here is the strict construction of the Second Amendment. They go on to talk about decades of lack of gun control in Georgia. and Alabama, and then say Alabama is one of more than 30 states with a law that expands the castle doctrines in their homes. Well, so, okay, what they're saying, they make it sound like, well, Georgia and Alabama are out there on the fringe. They're not, and then they do slip in, we're actually more than one of more than 30 states with some of these laws. And then they quote Democrats, like Georgia State Senator Elena Parent and other Democrats who have pushed for gun safety laws. Republicans, they say, are too busy trying to force women to give birth to be concerned. Force women to give birth. To be concerned with all the children already killed here by guns due to their gun policies, said State Senator Democrat Elena Parent. In June, Georgia Democrats held a press conference urging background checks for purchasing weapons and a ban on assault weapons. This article goes on like this. I guess my first question is, why would the Coleman Times think this is a necessary article when the reality is the laws of this state don't even reflect anything like what they're opining or wanting to have happen? They have no meaningful quotations in here from people who are supportive of gun rights. And anyway, I lay that down as a precursor because I thought it was a ridiculous article. Let's go ahead and talk about what they are trying to do. Alabama Daily News had a piece that came out in November, November 28th to be exact, so we're right at 3 weeks ago. While President Joe Biden speaks about the scourge of gun violence, his go-to answer is to zero in on so-called assault weapons. This came off of Alabama Daily News, citing the Associated Press on November 28th. Biden said, "The idea we still allow automatic weapons to be purchased is sick, just sick. I'm going to try and get rid of assault weapons." Well, they've tried before. He was there. Remember, he's been in D.C. since Methuselah was a child. All right? So he's tried. In 1994, when they passed the assault weapons ban, it lasted for 10 years, at which point it was repealed, or allowed to lapse, actually, because everybody recognized it had not done anything measurable to create a safer America. There was nothing about that law that did anything except put law-abiding citizens in a bad place. It says, but Biden and Democrats have become increasingly emboldened in pushing for stronger gun controls and doing so with no clear electoral consequences. I'm not sure what they mean by that, because I believe there are electoral consequences. If you go and try to infringe upon the Second Amendment in Alabama, see if you can get elected. Good luck. Just over half of voters want to see a nationwide gun policy made more strict, according to the AP's VoteCast, an extensive survey of more than 94,000 voters. Conducted by the Associated Press and the University of Chicago. About 3 in 10 want a gun policy kept as is. Only 14% prefer looser gun laws. And there are clear partisan divides. 90% of Democrats want stricter gun laws compared with about 3 in 10 Republicans. So the very idea that here we are polling the possibility of a national gun law in mid-2022 is a clear indication, by the way, that there is still an effort afoot. Now, keep in mind, one of the things they did do this year that I think we all have to be watching out for is they passed legislation that included the ability to fund states to create red flag laws. If you're not familiar, a red flag law is simply a law put in place that says, hey, if we see certain behaviors that we at the local slash state level decide are red flags, we can take away your guns. Well, what's that going to be? And who gets to decide? Well, you know, you apparently went to see the school counselor. Yeah, because my grandmother died. Well, but you saw a counselor, therefore we're going to take your firearms. What? How about this? Well, you had a bad day at work, and we heard you yelled at your boss, and somebody turns you in as being someone who has rage, and so therefore we're going to come confiscate your guns. What? You know, so who decides? Well, you had to seek mental health treatment. Well, you're taking antidepressants. Well, you didn't get your COVID vaccination. I don't know. What's it going to be? Where does it stop? Who decides what is a red flag? Remember, the pandemic of the unvaccinated was all of us who were irresponsible that were out there just ruining the world. I guarantee you, if they'd had an opportunity, they'd have made that a red flag. Well, where does it go from here? And what are they doing to try and take and steer the narrative? Well, you may be chagrined to find out But just a few days ago, a story broke that didn't get a lot of coverage, but I found it on townhall.com. Did you know the CDC tracks gun violence? I don't know why. I'm sure Congress gave them money for it and told them to. But the Centers for Disease Control tracks gun violence. And the Centers for Disease Control has not been tracking intentionally because of gun control activists. They have deliberately been suppressing information on the defensive use of guns. So, Boomer, you heard of the Castle Doctrine? You know what that is? Yeah. Stand your ground at your own house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A man's home is his castle. Someone breaks in your house, you have a right to defense, right? And you
absolutely.
You are likely not to be found guilty of, taking out a threat in your own home. Mm-hmm. All right. Stand your ground laws also, depending upon where you live, they can also mean, someone threatened you first and you responded with lethal force in kind.
Is that similar to in fear for my life?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes, depending on where you live, it could be life, limb, or property. Mm. All right. But here's the deal. There are efforts afoot right now to make sure that the narrative of the good guy with the gun beating the bad guy with the gun does not get out, because it defeats the narrative of all guns are violent use. They don't want the world to know that law-abiding citizens are protecting their homes sometimes. Story in my hands.
Wow.
I'm holding it up right now. The CDC, gun control groups have undue influence over the CDC. Story on December 16th by townhall.com. If the Centers for Disease Control was looking for ways to rebuild trust with the American public, it just squandered an opportunity to redeem itself. A new bombshell report from the firearms reporter Stephen Gutowski shows three gun control groups apparently have enormous pull over the CDC. Mm. How so? Well, they appear to have successfully lobbied the CDC to omit statistics mentioning instances of defensive gun use. Again, that's the narrative that says there are oftentimes when a good guy with a gun is able to beat a bad guy with a gun. And they don't want you to know that. They want the narrative to always be violent extremism, unwarranted gun violence. How about sometimes it's self-defense? The most updated CDC definition of, quote, defensive gun use reads this way, quote, although definitions of defensive gun use vary, it is generally defined as the use of a firearm to protect and defend oneself, one's family, other people, and other property against crime or victimization. But one professor, a guy named Gary Kleck, who has an organization that tracks gun use, says the CDC has been aligning itself with gun control advocacy groups and omitting the information that is necessary to tracking of when good guys use guns. And that to me is just disingenuous. It's awful. It's literally an attempt by the left to construe the narrative in their own way. This is no better. By the way, it's maybe worse. Twitter suppression of the Hunter Biden story or other things they don't want you to hear or say or know. They suppress those stories. That's one thing. How about this? This is when the activists go to a government-run agency paid for by our tax dollars and make sure the narrative is construed differently than what the truth should let it be. That's just freaking wrong right there. Well, that's what's happening. So there's one thing for you to know. We always talk about there are times when good guys with guns beat bad guys with guns. And the fact is the gun control lobby, why would they not want you to know that? Why would they not? Because it defeats their narrative. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. I ran a minute long. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I'm still in number one of the Triple Dipper. Live free or die. Second Amendment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. making it cool to be a conservative. By the way, some of y'all are sending in some amazing texts on your family traditions, and I just remembered another one, too. Charlene sent me one reminder, and then I've thought of another one that I've got to tell a story on. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. In a few minutes, probably after the next break, I'm going to have to just take some time and say, here's a story from so-and-so, here's a story from so-and-so. And by the way, one of the best ones I've seen so far is one of our new texters, Aaron from Coleman. What an awesome text that is. I'm looking forward to read that one out here in a few minutes. All right, let me jump back onto the topic at hand, though. Live free or die, Second Amendment infringements. I got two people that held on during the line or on the lines during the break, so let me just jump over the phones real quick. Line one, Chris from Lauderdale County. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for your show and your service.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You and Boomer both. Hey, I've got family and friends in Washington State.
Okay.
And they're telling me that if you get pulled over and the law officer, for whatever reason, requests backup, your name goes on a list and you are never able to get a concealed carry permit up there.
Oh, wow. So if they call for backup, even if they just like mistake your car for one that's on a BOLO list or something like that, and they call for backup just in case, you may wind up on that list and then there you are.
I am told it makes no difference. If they call for backup, you're on the list.
Wow.
For whatever reason.
Wow. That's Washington State?
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, blessings on them. Tell them they're welcome down here in Alabama, where we live free.
I think they'll go to Idaho.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Let me jump over real quick. Line two. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. No flat tires today, Jeff, I hope.
No, but I'm at the Loves getting some lights put in.
Oh, man. Brother, you've been having a time the last 2 days.
Oh, it's always fun.
Well,
hey, you know, Phil?
Yeah.
Am I the only dumb high school graduate truck driver that wonders why they changed the Second Amendment?
Why they changed the Second Amendment? You talking about, like, since it was enacted in the Bill of Rights, or are you talking about why they put it in the first place?
No, since they changed it, since it was enacted. I mean, because it reads, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right.
So why doesn't it say firearms and small weapons? Or does it give you the right to own a battleship? I mean, that's arms and hand grenades, cannons, everything else. Because it was in there, it was put in to so that the people would have the same armament as the government did.
Well,
when it was written,
it was, and then somewhere along the line, they did begin to regulate certain things, and now the National Firearms Act says you can't have an automatic weapon without your stamps. But yeah, it's I think it's morphed away from what they intended, as opposed to now it's morphing. I mean, in some ways, it's getting back to what they intended, but in some ways, the government has made it harder to just basically have the liberties I think they originally intended.
So the shall not be infringed is no longer in the bill then.
Well, not according to Right Side Radio.
Well, I mean, they must have removed it somewhere down the line, because infringement, I mean, that's pretty easy for some dummy like me to figure out. You know, infringement means you don't mess with it.
No kidding.
And apparently they messed with it. So, I mean, what other laws can we change? What other amendments can we change that's written in plain language? I mean, it's not hard. I don't have to be a lawyer to interpret infringement.
No, you're certainly right. And, you know, and freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, the right to due process. I mean, every one of those things, I've said it before several times, if you let one of them go, then they all are at risk at that point.
Well, the only amendment that they messed up on is that the Second Amendment should have been the first, because you don't have any of the other amendments unless you have the second.
Well, that's a fair point, brother. All right, man. Hey, get those lights changed. Be careful on the road, man.
He just stuck her in there. I'm heading out, man.
All right, brother.
Head toward Indiana.
All right, we'll see you.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too. All right, folks, time for the break. Coming back, top of the hour, we'll continue on with Live Free or Die, Second Amendment. What are they trying to do? Oh, I got news. You're going to want to hear it. Like Jeff said, the infringed thing is real. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two already. Local, state, national, man, we cover down on all the issues and, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, the text line is still going, by the way. If you've got a Christmas tradition that you want to tell us about, I'm going to be reading some of these out throughout the show. What Christmas traditions do y'all have? It can be meaningful things. It can be goofy things. It can be a food you eat. It can be an event y'all do. You know, like for years, we used to, on Christmas Day, we would have a kind of a quiet morning at the house, opening presents, doing things, and then we'd go to a Christmas matinee. We used to go to a movie on Christmas Day, and that was, I mean, that was a great time. I loved doing that. It was like an event. So tell us what your Christmas traditions are. 833-687-4448. All right, I got somebody held on the line real quick. I'll get up over to that. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, sir. And, well, before the other thing, the Christmas traditions that we have, it's whatever my wife tells us.
Tradition is to say, yes, ma'am.
Yes, for many, many years.
Well, that makes for a peaceful Christmas Eve, then, I guess.
I married up, IND. She's smarter than I am, by far.
Well, what's up, man?
But I was going to live free type thing, which is, it goes back and says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. These were the United States of America back then, which goes to the 10th Amendment, correct me where I'm wrong, but from that point, a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and every state, almost every state, had a militia. You were called to duty for that state.
Oh, and that would be true. In fact, the 167th Infantry that I used to command in the Alabama National Guard, the battalion, started off as the 4th Alabama, and before that it was the 4th Alabama Militia in the 1830s to help defend the home front. That's what they were.
And it's in the Constitution of many states and everything that says every man of a certain age and everything. And of course, now it's not just a man, but was part of a militia. And that's part of where, based on my reading of history, I could be wrong, correct me, but... And it says the right to bear arms, not the right to bear firearms. Well, so that could be cutlass, musket, cannon.
Can I have a battle axe? I'm going to carry my battle axe.
I'm sorry, my mother-in-law is gone. But then I loved her.
Oh, God. All right, Brian. Thanks,
have
brother.
A good one.
Appreciate you, man. Hey, listen, the text lines are going. If you want to text in your Christmas traditions, please do. 833-687-4448. So right now I've got a piece here, the Washington Examiner. We're still in number one of the triple dipper, live free or die. Second Amendment infringements are upon us. So in the Bruin case, that's the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. That's the one that came out earlier this year that pretty much solidified the ability of citizens to claim that there's been an infringement upon their civil liberties. In that case, it was New York. Well, what they're trying to do now is find all their workarounds. Okay, how do we get around the Bruin case? In the Bruin case, Justice Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority, he wrote this. He wrote, quote, "No other constitutional right that an individual may exercise only after demonstrating to government officers some special need." In other words, he knew of nothing that you have to do to prove that you have a right to assembly, a right to worship, a right to freedom of expression. Where do you have to prove that to government? By and large, you don't. And yet, somehow or another, there's always this attempt to try and regulate firearms by saying you have to prove to government that you should have the right to bear those arms. Well, this case comes on, this article comes on the heels of multiple states attempting to pass new laws, even in the wake of the Bruin decision. So this article came out in the Washington Examiner just last week, actually. Headline, Blue States Prepare New Gun Control Laws to Survive the Supreme Court Challenges. A few examples. New Jersey. Lawmakers in that state advancing a bill that would severely restrict where lawful gun owners can carry their firearms with a permit. Under the new law, it would also cost significantly more money to obtain that permit. In Illinois, lawmakers just last week debated the proposal that would ban assault-style weapons, outlaw higher-capacity magazines, and raise the minimum age for gun ownership from 18 to 21 years old. You can join the Army at 18, but you can't own a firearm till you're 21. In Oregon, state officials are fighting to implement a measure approved last month by voters, I'll tell you more about that in a minute, that would restrict the use and possession of firearms. In New York, they quickly changed their gun laws after the Supreme Court decision, but even then it became controversial. They wound up back in court. Pennsylvania, Democrats are pushing a measure that would stop the sale of firearms that can accept more than 15 rounds of bullets or five shotgun shells. My God. I mean, there went just about every Glock in somebody's possession. And oh, by the way, how do you account for the fact that many shotguns can hold more than five shells? I've got my shotgun, which was prepped for three-gun competition. I can do 14 and one on that one. It's got a tube, man. The tube's longer than the barrel. But nonetheless, these are happening left and right. Connecticut, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont has proposed going after AR-15 rifles. What? I don't like that rifle. I want that one gone. Just the AR-15. Not the SKS. Please don't touch the SKS. Just the AR-15. Okay. Then there's Biden's attempts to regulate ghost guns. Because that's an epidemic. Ghost guns. They're just everywhere. Ghost guns. New York Times, dated December 15th, last week. President Biden celebrated the adoption of a federal rule this past August that cracked down on the online sale of untraceable components for weapons known as ghost guns. It's a major step toward stemming gun violence, but the rule has done little to stop the sale of key parts used to make deadly homemade firearms. Maybe that's because those are also considered repair parts. How about that? A trigger assembly may not be a ghost gun. It might be an actual repair part. So what's happening now is online retailers are no longer selling the core components in one package. They sell them in separate packages. And they don't give you instructions on how to make a firearm. You figure it out for yourself. And I guess that's, well, they found a workaround. We were trying to limit this. And an article from the New York Times calls it ghost guns, which have gone from a novelty to a national menace. Okay, New York Times. Lastly, Boomer, your family should be aware. Oregon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Boomer's family's from, got family from Oregon.
Yep.
But they're all here now, pretty much.
Most of them.
Most of them are here.
Trying to get the rest.
So Oregon, a bunch of yahoos out there, voted for a new law. Oh. It passed by 50.7%, like barely over the margin of being like beyond 50.
Just barely.
Not even 51%. 50.7. That's a 0.7. Yeah. They passed this law that basically says gun buyers have to take a course. They have to demonstrate an ability to load, fire, and safely store a firearm. Like, how do you demonstrate safely storing? I removed the magazine, I emptied the chamber, and I stuck it in a drawer. Does that count? I don't know what...
A locked safe, probably.
I guess. Yeah. It is safely stored in the glove compartment of my vehicle. You know, what are they saying here?
It's right next to my German Shepherd.
<That's right. laughs> Anyway, it does all kinds of things, this law does. However, it has been enjoined, all right? An Oregon judge issued an injunction blocking portions of that law immediately, one of which was the high-capacity magazine ban, because the judge said himself, that is absolutely evident that what is attempting to happen here is to restrict the right to bear arms, because so many of firearms, the magazine capacity is integral to the use of the firearm. And when you buy, I mean, what are they going to do here? And how do they even get a magazine? And then how do the police enforce it? If they see you with a magazine in a weapon, they're going to have to remove the magazine to see what's there to know whether you're breaking the law. You might be an otherwise lawful possessor of the firearm, but do they stop you? Do they have the right to stop you to check your firearm?
Wow.
So anyway, Judge Ratio blocked the law. Now, here's the one that I found the most interesting, and I'll kind of wind up with this. You know, somehow or another, they always manage to do this. This is Oregon again. Hmm. Hang with me, Boomer.
I'm hanging.
You'll be pleased to know that Oregon's LGBTQ community is now worried that a new gun measure, the one I just talked about, is going to keep them from obtaining guns, too. I kid you not. Oregonian has an article. Some of Oregon's trans and queer gun supporters are worried that a new state law will prevent them from buying firearms. It prevents everybody from buying firearms.
Not just you.
Not just you intersectionalities. Oh. The law, Measure 114, grants county sheriffs and police. Now, here's the deal. I will say this. I find it interesting that they had to write an entire article about trans and queer gun activists for it to suddenly be, well, maybe we should rethink this because this might affect the trans community. That's what they're doing. Oh, man. But the interesting thing is, at some point in the article, I have to say that I agree. I mean, I don't necessarily agree they had to go out and find the trans community to suddenly legitimize the Second Amendment. But what I will say is this. They are worried that if they go out and conduct a protest against police brutality, that the police could then retaliate by limiting their ability to own a firearm. And I have to agree that you should not allow the subjectivity of local decision-making to suddenly change whether your Second Amendment rights should be enforceable.
Hmm. Hmm.
So the whole article even has a Maya Rose, a trans person of color and a former licensed firearm dealer, who focuses her efforts on sales and trainings for LGBTQ and Black and Indigenous and people of color. I'm like, well, where do they get these articles? But nonetheless, I have to say that Oregon, you screwed up when you infringed upon the trans people's rights to bear arms. Because suddenly you're I know Paul from Athens is already texting in going, especially those cis white males. Yes. Yes. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to spend a minute before the bottom of the hour telling you some of these Christmas traditions that are coming in. 833-687-4448. You want to text them in? I'd love to hear your Christmas traditions. We'll read them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Man, we've had some great texts come in. Just a few. By the way, Raven from Russellville just texted in. Says that his Christmas tradition is when we get together, we set up a 25-yard range in the backyard. We shoot targets with him as the range officer, coaching the young ones. It's a blast, special for all of us. I like that. That ties right into my live free or die. That's a great segue out of that. And thank you, Raven. Appreciate you. Some of the others I got on here, though, just so, and they reminded me of others that I'd forgotten to mention of our own families, like Darlene from Decatur. She says that they always sing Happy Birthday to Jesus and read the story in the Bible of his birth. And we did that, too. We actually had a Happy Birthday Jesus cake every year for the kids. And before we opened presents, we would sing Happy Birthday to Jesus because to remind our kids and really to even ourselves that he is the reason for the season. She also says, they had several of them in here, like the way they did their gifts tags for their kids. They would use nonsense words that gave clues to what the gift inside the box was, see if somebody could figure it out before they opened it, which I think is just fun. And then they also, by the way, they have a tradition of staying home on Christmas morning. They used to drive back and forth to Chicago. That was us, too. When our kids were little, we would just tell everybody, we'll come see you after Christmas morning, because our kids deserve to wake up at home if they can, and that's what we always did. Santa Claus always came to the house. Then we went and saw everybody else after that. So, Darlene, thank you for those. Those are great. Aaron from Cullman just blessed me. So he says, and I'm going to try and just read it. He says, cherish and honor your traditions. We always had around 70 family members at my grandparents' house during Christmas. And as we look back, we realize my grandparents would, by today's standards, be considered poor. But because of their immense love for us, we never knew it. Their gift was love. They knew that each of us liked and what each of us liked and made sure that each of us felt their love. And throughout the year, Papa would craft items in his workshop, and Mama, or me, I think it's Meemaw, would make sure everyone's favorite dish was served at Christmas. And it's examples and memories like these that far outweigh anything that can be purchased. Both my grandparents have now passed on, and the family asked me to speak at Meemaw's funeral. I remember during the funeral thanking her for making our house a home, that no matter what we face in the world, that's just good, that no matter what we face in the world, we knew that somehow we walked through those doors, everything would be all right. He says, cherish your family, and as much as it may hurt, tell them you love them. This could truly be the last Christmas for some of us to have together, so share that love and don't have any regrets. My gosh, that was beautiful. And so true. So true. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that. Aaron, new texter on the line. Aaron from Cullman. I got several like that. And I got to tell you, it reminded me, I mean, so Boomer, we had a tradition in my family. Do y'all do gift wrap presents at some point, right?
Right.
Right. Do y'all label the boxes, like, you know, just say like to dad or to mom, or do you have any special way of doing it?
If we label them at all.
Okay, let me do some explaining to you. It doesn't help when the kids open mom's present.
Oh, what's crazy.
But I think I started this. So in our house, among other things, like the happy birthday Jesus cake and the, you know, all this. So I started labeling the gifts. And I never use like real names. So when I'm giving one to Charlene, it may say like to Wonder Woman from Captain America, or, you know, at the very least, it's going to say to Mrs. Claus from Mr. Claus. And then the kids still remember that a few years back, I labeled one of them. I said to Hoochie Mama from Big Daddy. And the kids were like, Dad, you can't call Mama Hoochie Mama. And I said, is that bad? And they're like, well, yeah. You just like, you can't do that. And I was like, what? So what's the big deal? I'm sorry. So to this day, somebody on the night we're opening presents will say, did you got one? Hoochie Mama. Hoochie Mama from Big Daddy. Oh, my gosh. Somebody's going to text that one into me.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Paul from Athens says, maybe you should do one from Captain Planet.
Yeah, to Earth Station from Captain Planet. I don't know. All right. I love Christmas traditions. If you got more out there, you're welcome to text them in, 833-687-4448. We're about to switch gears here, number two in the Triple Dipper, Birmingham Southern College. All right, so Birmingham Southern is a private college with a long tradition. They've been ranked as one of the best liberal arts universities in the nation, and yet suddenly they are in financial distress. And suddenly, after claiming their private rights, and even to the extent that they didn't want to enforce the vaccine, non-vaccine passport law that we passed in Alabama, we broke a story last year where suddenly they were charging kids who didn't get a vaccination $500 extra. Yeah, I kid you not. But now all of a sudden they need public funds to survive. So Birmingham Southern is asking for a bailout. We'll talk about that next, number two on the Triple Dipper. And I got Stephanie Smith calling in to talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. all you Right Side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some ground across the northern part of the state of Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, listen, somebody who's been on the show many times is my friend Stephanie Smith. She's with the Thatcher Coalition. She's got a long history working in both state and federal legislative affairs. She's got her master's degree in public administration, I believe it was. And I have an honor to have her back on the show again today. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually just got back to Birmingham. I passed you. I waved at the exit. I spoke at the Albertville Rotary Club today.
Did
so
you?
That was a fun little adventure.
Well, yeah. I spoke at the Boaz Rotary Club just last week. So we were
right next door.
We're
right
making the rounds.
Our week.
Oh, good. Good,
yeah,
good,
it
good.
Was fun. It was a nice group of guys.
Well, next time you're up this way, holler.
Well, I actually jokingly said if it was an hour earlier, I would just stop by and scare you in the studio.
Yeah. Well, it beats having you call in. You could have sat right here with us. I would have given you the driver's seat again just to take over the studio.
I would have taken the little seat.
Well, and she's joking that we got rid of the little seat after Stephanie guest hosted for me one time, and I actually wound up getting back to the studio earlier than expected. So I walk in and sat in the guest seat. Didn't realize until then that the guest seat was like this power seat that sits like a foot lower than it should have, and it's like I was putting on my guest. I had the lieutenant governor of the state sitting in the little bitty seat at some point. Hey, Steph, so listen, stories out there right now. In fact, 1819 News has covered it a couple times. AL.com has covered it, other outlets. That Birmingham Southern, which is a private college, has been around since 1856, but they are in financial distress, and they're asking for $37.5 million in public dollars in bailout money from the government. Give me your initial thoughts on that.
Yeah, I saw that, and I guess I will say it wasn't surprising to me that they're in distress because a few reasons. They've been in and out of financial trouble for about a decade at this point. So that wasn't new news. I guess it was just new news that they didn't feel like they could float things with private dollars. And now they're asking for taxpayer dollars. And to me, that's a big ask for a private university who's made some, I would say, questionable financial and just kind of overall academic decisions to then be asking, you know, the city of Birmingham and Jefferson County, where it is, and then also just run-of-the-mill state taxpayers to foot the bill for them for a private college.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, the most recent article from 1819 came out yesterday or day before, and they say on here that Birmingham Southern blames its financial woes on the Great Recession of the late 2000s. Okay, that was 10 years ago, 2008-ish.
Right.
And then significant investment in new buildings and an error in their federal financial aid accounting. So in other words, they screwed up their accounting, and they built too many buildings. In fact, what I heard was they built one eco-friendly dorm, and they also built a lake. That people look back now and go, wow, was that really necessary? Should you have done that?
Right. And they've been through a whole host of presidents over the last, you know, 10 or 12 years as well. And I will say too, the only thing that I keep waiting for somebody to say, and I should have looked it up before I called in to know the exact date, but it was about 3 or maybe 4 years ago, it was pre-COVID. They came out with kind of a gimmick to try to get Birmingham area people to start sending their kids back to Birmingham Southern for college by having a no tuition plan.
A no
tuition. And so I cannot see zero tuition. And so I haven't heard anybody admit that that was part of the problem, but I find that pretty strange to have a zero tuition plan.
Wow.
But then you expect the taxpayers to come on the other side of it and pick up the tab. I have a pretty hard time.
So was it a gimmick that they actually put into effect? Like they did it for a while? They actually gave away tuition? Wow. I mean, I look at that and go, okay. Yeah, they were making all kinds of snap decisions that just didn't seem to be wise.
Right.
Well, $37.5 million. Right now they're looking at, right now that would be $12.5 million they're asking for from the COVID relief money that the state has still got to appropriate. $17.5 million from our state education budget. $5 million from the city of Birmingham and $2.5 million from Jefferson County. And, you know, $2.5 million from Jefferson County is the lowest amount of their government ask. But the president of the Jefferson County Commission, he's not so sure that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they're pointing for the state funding. There are a few private colleges or not even colleges. There were some institutions of higher learning that weren't colleges that have previously gotten some state funding out of that ETF. And then obviously the ARPA funds are unprecedented because that didn't exist before the federal government just started handing out, you know, money like it was candy. But there is some precedent. I think Marion Military and a few other smaller colleges, possibly Judson, have gotten state funding before, and those are private colleges. I would be very surprised if it was to this degree and for this reasoning. And so I think there is some level of precedent on the state side, but I don't think there's any level of precedent on the local or county side, the municipal side, for bailing out a private organization like this.
Especially when they admit that part of their problem was an error in their federal financial aid accounting. That just tells me that somebody screwed up. And now we need help to bail us out, please. They also say significant investment in new buildings. Well, I get it, but if you basically overextended, we can't just come in and rescue that. But where does it stop? I think that's one of my concerns. Is I don't not like Birmingham Southern. I had friends that played all three of their sons played baseball there. It's a great college. My grandmother went to Birmingham Southern, but I look
we've
at
got
it,
great friends and friends who have kids there now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great college. They were even named as one of the top liberal arts colleges in the nation just a few, just like last year or something. But the reality is, at what point do we stop doing this? And that's my concern is here we are talking about excesses that we have in state funding, no tax relief for individual citizens, and now a college wants $37.5 million public dollars. I think there's a lack of wisdom if we go forward with that.
I totally agree. And this to me is like the Biden bailout of student loans on steroids, meaning you're going to ask, you know, minimum wage workers, you're going to ask, you know, just people who didn't have the chance to go to college or community college, much less a school as expensive as Birmingham Southern has been historically, to bail out with their tax dollars a school that is struggling to survive. And you hate to see that. I'm not jumping up and down by any means. But I just think that this is one of those situations to where there's just a misunderstanding of what state funding is. State funding is money out of your pocket and money out of my pocket. That's all it is. It's not some magical money tree that they have money down there that they can just figure out how to spend. It is our money that they're trying to spend to do this, and I think that's wrong.
I totally agree. And, you know, we have right here in the same area, we have a traditional private – Samford's totally private, aren't they? In Samford, a private school, private college? Yeah, I thought they were.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, they have been successful in maintaining and yet Birmingham Southern's right here in the same town. I don't think I would call it a more not depressed section of town, I guess. They're not in the best section of town. But nonetheless, they're still a quality campus, and yet there's like a history of just inept record keeping. And at some point you have to go, okay, you guys are screwing up. So do we make them do we have them converted to be a public university, or do we just let them die on the vine? I mean, I think that's where the decision making is right now, right?
Well, and I'm not really having much skin in the game at all. It seems to me like they're basically asking for a handout or a bridge, and, you know, that bridge, once they cross it, I haven't heard of any sort of, you know, I mean, usually when you're talking about economic development or workforce development kind of investment, you've got clawbacks, you've got, you know, at least an understanding of a loan repayment or something like that. I haven't, I mean, that may have been part of the discussion that they didn't allow the media into that happened yesterday. And I haven't talked to Jabbo Wagner or Jim Karn individually about this, although I know they signed a letter of support for the bailout. But I haven't heard any sort of, you know, skin, what I would term skin in the game, meaning, you know, loan repayment or guarantee of certain sorts, you know, of results for the extended community to make something like this worth it.
Yeah, and I have to look at it and go, is Birmingham Southern, are they not allowed to sell bonds? Because you can form a, you can form an organization and actually do a bond issue based upon your good credit and worthiness. I don't know. I look at the whole thing. It, like you said, there's no evidence of what restrictions or provisions or clawbacks or anything else are going to be on them. What are they going to do to prove that they're going to be more capable of making wise use of this money if they ever get it? At the same time, we're calling on the legislature to actually give some tax relief to the average Joe and Jane. And here we are looking at them asking for 37.5. Where does the handout stop? I don't know. And I think this is a problem.
I totally agree. And the fact that we have ARPA spending that hasn't been spent tells you all you need to know, which is there's too much money in state government that they don't even know how to effectively spend at this point. And so now we're just at the point where we're like, oh, you know, these folks are in trouble. Let's bail them out. You know, this you know, system needs extra cash here. You know, it just feels a little bit like, you know, kind of a carnival ride in that there's no thought process to it. It's just, you know, handing out money as people ask. And that's just not the way state government is supposed to work.
Totally agree. And I tell you what else is interesting as a closing point here in our discussion. Last year on Right Side Radio, we broke the story on this show that Birmingham Southern decided they were going to institute a $500 fee for non-vaccinated students. If you were vaccinated, you didn't have to pay the extra $500. If you refused to get your vaccination, you had to pay $500 extra per semester. And they were calling it a vaccination care fee. And basically what it was putting a caste system in place. Well, they didn't believe they had to abide by the state law because they were not a state-funded institution.
Right.
So they were claiming their private bona fides last year, and now they come out and say, can we have some of those public dollars, please? And I just find that to be somewhat ironic and a little bit disingenuous.
Yeah, absolutely. I know just anecdotally from some family friends, that there was a lot of pressure on those students, especially the athletes that were there on scholarship or partial scholarship or even just, you know, there as athletes. And so there was a lot of pressure on them to receive those COVID shots. And then they instituted that ridiculous fee. And, you know, there were other colleges that did that nationwide. But no others in the state of Alabama that I'm aware of who even tried that because they saw that that would clearly be against the law. So, and I think that they were bragging online in news articles. I think there's an old AL.com article that I saw that, you know, they were bragging that they had like 78-80% participation rate from their students on those COVID shots. Well, of course. I mean, if you're going to put undue pressure on them and charge them a fee and punish them, you know, I think that was kind of the point, right?
Oh, it was kind of the point. And it was kind of fun that we caught them. I mean, I loved the fact that we broke the story here on this radio show. It became a national news. Some of the students that felt oppressed by that were on Fox and Friends. The state attorney general got involved, writing them letters and letting them know what was what. And Matt Clark down at the Center for Law and Liberty also got involved. It became a thing. But, here they are now, though, wanting a bailout. All's good. Everybody, no harm, no foul. Hey, can we have some money? That's where it is right now.
I do have to question. I mean, like I said at the beginning, there has been, they've been in financial trouble for a long while. But I do have to wonder, I would love to see their enrollment numbers when they instituted that. 78% of what? Of their total enrollment? Or how many did they lose from that? Because I have to tell you, that would probably have been a sign to me that maybe my kids were in the wrong place.
I totally agree. All right, my friend, that'll wrap it. I appreciate you making some time for us on this today. As always, appreciate your commentary. All right, hey, Merry Christmas.
It. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right, folks, that was Stephanie Smith, as always, providing good commentary and good background Boomer, I'm pretty sure she can talk about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I loved listening to her.
I can call her and say, can we talk about the moon? And she will talk knowledgeably about the moon. I know it.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Booms, take us to break, bud. We'll do that right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back. I'll tell you more about Birmingham Southern requesting a government bailout. And then before the show's over, we're going to get into one of our favorites, Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Hey, take a break from the Birmingham Southern bailout thing. And do we get some? We got some new Christmas traditions, didn't we, Boomer? You got some new ones on the text line over there? What you got?
Yeah, we got a few. John from Huntsville said, I'm starting a new Christmas tradition this year. I'm going to spend my entire morning listening to Right Side Radio podcasts. That was a good one.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. There's another one from TL from Huntsville. we have a Christmas story Red Ryder carbon BB gun target practice like competition. I mean, how fun is that?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's from that movie Christmas. Do you even like that movie Christmas Story? Do you like it?
Okay, I didn't like it for a long time.
Yeah,
but I kind of like it now with the Red Ryder BB gun.
My stepbrother thinks it's the most awesome movie ever.
It's not my favorite.
There's always at least one channel that'll play it nonstop for 24 hours. Hey, kid, you got to shoot your eye out with that thing. But I don't know. I just never have been able to get into that. I've tried to watch it and go, do I like it? Do I like it? No.
I mean, it's not my favorite. I just like the Red Ryder BB gun.
I do like the Red Ryder BB gun.
I think that's my own.
I've had one. In fact, we still got one at the house.
And I like it when all the dogs come in the house and eat all the... I think they come in to eat like the turkey and stuff.
And I
like
do
that.
Like the fishnet stocking leg lamp. Yes. It must be from Italy, Fragile.
Someone actually dressed up as that leg lamp at one of my parties one time.
Holy smokes!
Hilarious.
That is good.
It was really funny. We got one more. Yeah, Tyler from Huntsville. He says my mom just started one a few years ago. We do scavenger hunts with Christmas stuff. She starts a group text with our family, and every day she sends a few items to take pictures of, like a home with red lights or reindeer. Then the person that finds the most wins a prize.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. We used to do that back in the day before you had cameras on your phone, and we called it Polaroid Panic. We would give all the kids a Polaroid camera that has the instant film, you know?
Yes.
And then you'd have to go around, and you have to find a picture of yourself eating pickled pig's feet, or you had to, you know, a picture of yourself at McDonald's with straws in your noses. You know, you had to go around and get all these things done for Polaroid Panic. That was epic fun.
Man, I love reading all these that everybody's sending in. It's fun.
All right, listen, we're going to keep reading them out. If you got a Christmas tradition, tell us what it is. 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448, which we commonly refer to as 833-68-RIGHT. That's the way I have to make sure I don't say it with too much of a Southern accent, because I'll be going, how do you spell that? RAIGHYT. Right. All right, listen, we got plenty more coming up. In a minute, we're going to come back and sort of wrap up this discussion on Birmingham Southern asking for a bailout. Private college asking for $37.5 million in public funds. This is in fact, a slippery slope. Oh, by the way, that's what the chair of the Jefferson County Commission called it, a slippery slope. And so we'll cover down on this here in a few minutes. And then we're going to wrap up the day with one of our favorites. You know it. You love it. You asked for it. Adventures in Woke World. We have a vast cornucopia, a veritable plethora, a buffet, if you will, a charcuterie of wokeness that we're going to walk through. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Local, state, national, man, we cover down on all the issues and, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three, Booms? Hour number three. Good gosh. All right. Hey, listen, finishing up this section on Birmingham Southern, I got to tell you. So, first of all, this is not a fly-by-night organization. I mean, Birmingham Southern was actually chartered in 1856, if I recall correctly. They've been around for quite a while, obviously. And, here's a story from Yellowhammer News. Dated September of this year, Birmingham Southern ranked among the top liberal arts colleges. So, apparently, Birmingham Southern, it says, continues to move up the ranks of the country's top liberal arts colleges. It climbed up 17 spots to number 111 out of 1,500 different institutions. That's an amazing ranking. They scored an A-plus in the category of retention of their freshmen. There were 17 measures that the U.S. News and World Report ranked its college on, including student retention, graduation rates, faculty resources, social mobility, but apparently not on financial stability. So there they are. Apparently effective at their charter, which is teaching, but you still got to run the business side. And so here we are now with a story on 1819 News that they've asked for the $37.5 million bailout that I told you about. And just by the way, last year, we had that situation that I told you that we actually broke the story here on this show. It became national news. If you want to see a few links to it, you can go to my Twitter feed. I'm on Twitter at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. And I did a thread today of the fact that last year we broke a story about Birmingham Southern College deciding that it would charge more for vaccines or for unvaccinated students than they would for vaccinated students. It was ridiculous. It made national news. Students from that school that were protesting were calling me to break the story, and then they went from there to being on Fox and Friends on Fox News. The Alabama Attorney General got involved. The Center for Law and Liberty got involved. But, you know, part of their defense was, well, we're a private organization. We're a private school. Does the law really apply to us? We're a private school. And the Attorney General had to tell them, you're violating at the very least the spirit of the law, if not the actual letter of the law. Well, okay. It was convenient at the time to claim their private status. Now they want public funds, and that's part of the issue here. And truthfully, I look at it and think, is this the right thing to do with public dollars? And I don't want them to go away. I mean, I think they're a great school. Like I said, I've had family members that go there. I've had great friends whose kids played sports there and got their degrees there. The head of the county commission in Jefferson County, who they've asked $2.5 million from, he literally says he thinks it'd be a very slippery slope. So this is Jefferson County Commission President Jimmy Stevens in a phone interview with 1819 News on Monday. Said he had heard from constituents on the matter, but he personally was not sure that giving funds to Birmingham Southern would be a valid use of taxpayer dollars. In his words, he's only had one constituent, a former Birmingham Southern graduate, that was in favor of helping them or bailing them out. He says, I think if we begin that process with private institutions, it would be a very slippery slope that we would have difficulty retreating from, and I'm not sure that's a valid expenditure of taxpayer dollars. Now, I've not seen an economic impact study. I would love to see an economic impact study. What is the economic impact to Birmingham or that section of town by Birmingham Southern being present? I mean, do they bring something to the table besides just the fact that they're another, you know, college or university there in the area? It's worth knowing. And I agree with Stephanie Smith earlier. There needs to be some kind of measure as to what they're going to do to change their policies, to get away from whatever all the things that caused them to go in the hole in the first place. Are there going to be any clawbacks? Are they going to have a payback plan? Is it a loan or is it a grant? And should we do it at all? I got a caller on line four. Let me go to that real quick. John from Huntsville. Hey, John, Phil Williams, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Great show, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I am a mid-90s graduate of Birmingham Southern.
Okay.
And I agree with your position that I don't think taxpayer dollars should go to the institution. This issue has been going on, like you said in the, or the lady said in the earlier segment, since the first decade of this century, where they revealed all sorts of economic issues and deficiencies in bookkeeping and any number of other things. And I won't give the college a dime. I have been suspicious when General Krulak was the president there for a while. It seemed like the ship was getting righted.
Yeah.
But once he departed, I just have been very uncomfortable with the way that they've proceeded with things like the building program. It always seemed like they were ready to build something, but not maintain something else.
Really? Wow.
So that includes my 4 years there. I enjoyed my time there. But at the same time, like I said, when we started this, I wouldn't give them the money.
Well, that's interesting to hear you say that, because, you know, the Alumni Association is a lot of times where they try to draw those endowments from. And I wonder how many others out there feel like you that are alumni.
I honestly don't know. My small network of friends from college gets smaller by the year.
Yeah.
You know, we just get further and further apart. And I've only talked to one other guy about this. And honestly, it was when the article popped up Friday, or whenever it was that it popped up originally last week, where they said that they were going to go to the state and the county and the city and ask for money. And I'm like, first off, I don't, does Birmingham have money to give? There's this alleged pot of money with the state, but at the same time, a private school doesn't need to be going after tax dollars.
Yeah.
So I'm suspicious of the whole thing. Their footing has been muddy for a while, and I just wonder what is going on.
Hey, let me ask you this too, John, and your experience there. I think I heard that some of their sports programs went away in recent years, if I'm not mistaken.
In the time that I was there, that was an NAIA sports college.
Yeah.
Okay. So very small, very small. After I graduated, they brought back a man who had been the basketball coach to become the new athletic director, and they moved up to Division I NCAA.
Wow.
And instantly had to come into alignment with Title IX and all the other things that go along with that.
Yeah.
They then scaled, they then realized that there was no way that they could afford that. It was way too much. You know, they bit off a lot more than they could chew. And they backed off to Division III, you know, non-scholarship NCAA sports. But other than keeping up with, you know, periodically going to the website and looking, it's not that easy to keep up with Birmingham Southern teams, because the local news isn't going to say anything about them unless they were to win a national championship or something.
Yeah, I had a friend whose sons all played baseball there, and that program kind of came and went, if I recall. And I think his son had to transfer to another school because the program was going away while he was still there. But let me ask you this last question I got for you, though, is some of the buildings I heard were questionable, like they were building eco-friendly dorms or something. Do you recall that?
You know, they have had a ecological program. There was a professor that I had. He was actually a political science professor in the late 80s, early 90s, who became in charge of it's an environmental center.
Yeah.
But it was more of the late 80s, early 90s environmental movement than the current stuff that you hear spouted on television all the time. And I think that's where that, I'll call it a lake pond, came into effect, which was, essentially, it was kind of like some of these subdivisions that you see around that have got retention ponds that were originally swamps. They made use of a spot that always held water anyway. But again, I'm disconnected from the school on some of those things, and the eco-friendly dorm building or whatever it was, I'm not even sure what that would be. I know that there has been some construction, but I'm not sure if they've tried one of those lead platinum things or if it's something more than that.
In any event, they apparently got in over their heads because they cite their building programs as one of their problems. Hey, John, I got another caller I got to get before I go to the break, so I appreciate your call, man. Thanks so much for dialing
afternoon.
In. All right, you
Thank
too, bud.
You.
Let me go to line five real quick before the break. Clarence from Huntsville. Hey, Clarence, Phil Williams, how are you?
Hey, Phil, doing good, man.
Good.
Hey, I wanted to call in and I wanted to do a comment on, I did not go to that school, but I went to a school in Georgia that's a private school.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what happens, and the reason why taxpayer dollars in themselves should not be going to private schools, at least in Georgia, the private schools are not governed by the Board of Regents. They don't, not the same way the public schools are. They don't have anybody to sit there and make sure that everything that they're doing is what they should be doing. And so what would happen to us was we would get an email pretty much from FAFSA saying that our quarterly arrangements, you know, the money we could actually get, were going to be going up, you know, let's just say $1,000, $2,000 a quarter, the extra money we could actually take out for student loans, right?
Right.
Well, since the school's not governed by the Board of Regents, nobody sets their tuition. They set their own tuition. So you could dang near believe within about a week of that email, you're going to get an email from the school saying, due to whatever, you know, whatever they wanted to come up with, tuition was going to be going up.
Oh, did we lose him? Hey, Clarence.
Amount of money that,
oh, there you are. You're back.
Yeah.
You're back. And we lost you there for a second. The tuition goes up when they realize you've got more opportunity to use public dollars in school. I heard that part.
Correct. So if you find out from FAFSA you're going to get $1,500 extra dollars a quarter, what you would always see was your tuition was going to be going up $1,500 extra dollars a quarter.
I believe it.
They ate up every bit of it. And what happens from the student perspective is, you get about, you know, a year into a 3-4 year program, and you all of a sudden realize this school is now costing me $7,000-$8,000 a year more than what it should have been whenever I signed up. But you're stuck; you can't leave, or else you wouldn't have a way to pay it anyway.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it winds up becoming this kind of endless loop of public funds are available, therefore things get more expensive. Therefore, the school does more, and then suddenly, when public funds aren't available, the school has trouble. Hey, Clarence, I got to go to a break, man. We're up against a hard time. So let me do that. Thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. We're going to start switching gears here. Adventures in Woke World, that's where we're going next. And we still got some more traditions on text line here. If you want to call in, 833-687-4448. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, forgetting to unmute his microphone. There we go. Solid conservative and just plain unmuted. All right, there we go. Hey, I got a caller on the line. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I've got a cool childhood Christmas tradition.
All right, what you got?
My dad was a Boeing engineer that lived through the Depression. And he and my mom worked super hard to make life wonderful for us. And what my dad used to do, he didn't want to pay $8 for a real Christmas tree. And so there was a feed and feed chain in the Northwest that was called Chubby and Tubby, which probably wouldn't fly in this era of Wolf World.
Yeah.
And what he used to do would be to get two spindly trees, and he would lash them together, and then he would also take he would drill diagonal holes into the trunk of the tree to fill them out so that it looked like the coolest Christmas tree ever, and paid, you know, a farthing for it.
Huh. That's ingenious. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and we never knew that. We just thought, yeah, we've got the coolest Christmas trees, but he was not about to pay full price. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. And that's there's probably wisdom mixed up in that too. Hey, thank you, my friend. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Same to you, my dear. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Got a couple of others that also texted in. Oh, there's that. We got Mimi from Arab texted in, said their new tradition is they call it charity bingo. Each family member secretly donates to a worthy charity and writes a synopsis of their charity and places their descriptions in a secret bag. We play bingo. Each winner draws from the secret bag and reads the name of the donor and the charity description. So I've never seen our teenage children, our teenage grandchildren, so excited about gift exchange as they are now. Mimi from Arab. I love that. That's very cool. I had another one down here. Where'd it go? Rita from Scottsboro. She says, we open our gifts on Christmas Eve night. Before any gifts are distributed or open, we get out the Bible and we read aloud the true Christmas story. I love that. You know, I spent several years in youth ministry full-time, and that was one of our Christmas traditions was kind of like, you know, the thing at the house where I'd had the long nightgown and the candle.
Yeah.
I used to come out at we called it club. Young Life had club. I used to come out at Young Life Club to the Christmas club. And I would sit down in the chair with my nightcap and my nightshirt on and the candle, and I would read everybody the Christmas story by candlelight.
Oh, and, cool.
So, yeah, very cool.
That's really cool.
A couple more before we go to the break. So, golly, where'd it go? I got so many texts on the line right now. I got Jay from Hartsel.
Yep.
Christmas is a tradition in its own. You get to see the best in people, and what could be the sentiment was carried throughout the rest of the year. And what could be if the sentiment was carried throughout the rest of the year? I agree with that. You know, that's one thing I did hear somebody say, I think it was a pastor, said just in the last couple of days, that you do wish this sentiment would last all year long. But you know what? We'll take what we can get. So, I agree with that, Jay. Good stuff. Golly, bum. All right, folks, listen, you want to text in your Christmas traditions. We're about to switch gears. We're going to head into one of our favorite segments, Adventures in Woke World. Oh, it's going to be full. And I'm telling you, this is where I say, I have looked through the news and I've resourced this thing. I've got some stories that'll curl your hair. Some will make you mad. Others will make you laugh. Some will make you roll your eyes. I've got a vast cornucopia, a veritable buffet, a plethora, if you will, a charcuterie of wokeness that we're going to cover down on in the last half hour of the show. It's pretty good.
It is good.
Boomer, you saw all the stories, right?
I did. It's definitely a good one.
Like just a few teasers here. So you may want to know that Stanford University has released its guide to eliminate certain harmful languages in the English lexicon, words that just shouldn't be used. How many Alabama reporters are having a meltdown about Elon Musk at Twitter? Or how about the fact that the Irish government is moving to dramatically cut the number of cattle that are allowed on the island of Ireland? Or the Antifa member who ran violent Colorado Twitter accounts is now revealed to be a furry journalist. He's a furry.
One of furries. Furries.
I don't understand that. That is like the weirdest sort of phenomenon I've ever seen. It goes on and on from there, folks. All right, listen. We got more. We're coming right back, the final half hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Throwing down across the ground in the northern part of our state. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me just tell you real quick, by the way, before I go too much further, there is a real push right now to get people back in the workforce. I mean, we're talking about unemployment is low, but yet labor participation is also low, and that's bad. There's still too many people out there that have not re-engaged. If you're looking for a job, if you realize it's time for you to get back to work and you haven't been at work, or you just want to find a new job, ZLA Solutions, man, they've been with us since this show started. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. They've got all kinds of jobs listed on their website right now at big-name employers all over the northern part of our state, really in multiple states. But ZLA Solutions, they can help you as an employer to also fill out the ranks of your workforce. Man, I'm telling you, that's their bread and butter. They do a lot of business solutions, but staffing, that's their big one. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions, these are friends of mine. They've been with the show since the very beginning, and they are doing an epic good job at getting people and jobs lined up. Check them out at ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Well, listen, this is a section of the show that I love doing. This is too much fun. We got a sound effect for this one. Hit it, Boomer.
Adventures in Woke World.
First story out the gate is the one that's going to inflame the passions of the right side ruffians in our audience. All right, so story on Fox News dated today's date. Stanford, that is Stanford University, Stanford releases its guide to eliminate harmful language, and it cautions against calling U.S. citizens American. It's the Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative, which was revealed in May as a multi-phase, multi-year project to address harmful language at Stanford. The guide said the goal is to eliminate, quote, many forms of harmful language, including racist, violent, and biased language. And it goes on to talk about all the different kinds of slurs you can use. There are 10 versions, categories, if you will, of harmful language. They have them categorized as ableist, ageism, colonialism, culturally appropriative, gender-based, imprecise language, institutionalized racism, person-first, violent, and additional. I don't know what additional. What else could there be? They covered all the woke categories. I'm not sure what's left. Among the words the university urges people to avoid in the imprecise language section is the term American. I kid you not, Booms.
Listen, I just saw that on the TV. They knew you were about to talk about it.
Was it up on the screen?
It was on the right screen just a second ago, right when we were coming in.
You know, sometimes I feel like Fox looks at my Twitter feed to find out what's going to be on the show today, and they try to run parallel.
That's what they do.
I'm just saying. People are instead asked to use U.S. citizen because American typically refers to people from the United States only, thereby insinuating the U.S. is the most important country in the Americas. You're Stanford freaking university in the freaking United States of freaking America. How about you remember that? Other terms that are deemed harmful are the words like abort. Child prostitute should be replaced with child who has been trafficked. Karen. Karen is somebody's name. Karen is replaced with demanding or entitled white woman. So that's better.
So my mom doesn't like to be referred to as her name, Karen.
Your mom is not a demanding or entitled white woman.
No, but she
But you
said
are
that
a cis white male.
I am a cis white male.
You are a cis white male. Oh God. Under the ableist section, they should urge people to use accessible parking instead of handicapped parking. Accessible. Well, then how do you define, are they going to stop painting the wheelchair? Is it going to stop being blue? I mean, listen, There's a Kmart in my area that's got like the whole entire front half of the parking lot are all blue spaces. You have to park like 60 yards away from the door. So what are they going to do? They're going to make it assisted, accessible parking, I guess. You have to say died by suicide, not committed suicide. You have to say anonymous review instead of a blind review. You have to say unenlightened as opposed to tone deaf. I mean, this is... And by the way, they don't want you to say brave, but they don't give you an alternative means. Just stop saying it. Just don't even say brave. Just Just suck it up, man.
Just take it out of the vocabulary. Yeah.
In the gender-based section, pronouns should be used as opposed to preferred pronouns because the word preferred suggests that non-binary gender identity is a choice and a preference, not something you're born with. My God.
Wow. What do you guys say, Stanford?
I'm just literally looking at this and going, these people, and by the way, I wonder how many, is Stanford a public university or private? Do you know? This is just unreal. Next story from a sourcing that I've never used before, the dailyfetched.com. Daily Fetched. Anyway, the Great Reset, Irish government moves to dramatically cut cattle and car numbers for the green agenda. You heard me. The Irish government has announced plans to dramatically cut the country's cattle and car numbers to fight, because you know, Boomer, cow flatulence is a big, big deal. I mean,
cow flatulence
can tear up some ozone. You know what I'm saying?
It can.
I mean, I've been around a few cows. They can tear up some ozone, but the idea that we have to get rid of them. So the reduction would see there being 600,000 fewer cattle in Ireland by the end of the decade. 600,000 fewer. The Irish government is also targeting cars with a draft proposal demanding the number of automobiles on the road are cut by one-fifth by 2030. They're not just going, by the way, for, you know, they're not just going for the idea of turning you into driving an electric vehicle. They just want you to stop driving. And now you can't use your, you know, ox cart either because there's no cows. I just thought of that. That was pretty funny. How about this one? Have you heard about that thing where some people call themselves furries? First of all, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're not a cat. You're not a dog. All right? You're not. I was talking to a family member this past weekend at one of our Christmas gatherings who was talking about the fact that there are schools right now, schools where they are allowing litter boxes in the bathrooms to accommodate some of the teenagers who identify as furries.
Got to have those litter boxes.
Yeah. They got that going on in Nashville right now, don't they?
They did. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Those litter boxes in the bathrooms.
In the bathrooms.
Because the furries need the litter boxes.
Well, that's... So, first of all, if you're a person who goes into a bathroom to squat in a litter box, you're an idiot. And maybe you shouldn't be in a public school. You might need, there was a time and a place where we looked at that as being a mental health issue, and now we're going to accommodate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Antifa, the Post-Millennial reports, Antifa member who ran a violent Colorado Twitter account has now been revealed to be a furry journalist. The individual who created the Colorado Springs Antifa Twitter account, which was suspended from Twitter on Saturday, thank you, Elon Musk, has been identified as a far-left furry transgender activist and a former high school teacher who boasted of using their military experience to basically mess things up. I won't say exactly the way they say it. Let me get this straight. I want to read that again. Colorado Springs Antifa Twitter account. The creator of that has now been identified as a far-left furry transgender activist. So that means he thinks he's a female cat when he's really a male cat? Is that what's happening there?
Yes. He now is a female cat instead of a male.
I just feel like I need to go take a shower after reading these stories. Anyway, on Sunday, the Post-Millennial's Andy Ngo tweeted, breaking, the Antifa member who ran the violent Twitter account of the Colorado Springs cell of Antifa is a trans furry. You're like multiple levels of messed up.
A trans furry.
You're a trans furry. You're not just a furry. You're a trans furry. I mean, so basically, he doesn't know which litter box to use. He should be allowed to use the litter box that matches his self-professed identity at the moment. That's where we are, folks. That's some of the madness. That's the Hunger Games right there coming into our situation. Yeah. I'm sorry. Do I have a caller on the line?
You got a caller.
I apologize, man. I'm just rattling on about furries and litter boxes and madness and wokeness. Line one, Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Yeah, this is a kind of a fun thing, but some serious. I think I caught on Steve Hilton show about EIGs using non-government organizations, NGOs, to police free speech under grants from an organization called the CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Systems Agency, multiple million-dollar grants to Stanford University, University of Washington, an organization called Graphica, a company called Graphica, and we're talking about tens of millions of dollars that are going to shut down free speech through third-party NGOs.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
But you know what? If you had told me this a few years ago, I'd said, come on. But now I'm like, you know, I believe it. I believe it's happening.
Yeah, look up CISA. Look up this new agency. They got a bunch of people, and they're giving a lot of government money, your tax dollars, at work to shut down your free speech.
Wow. All right.
And that's why you get this stuff from Stanford, like you've just been reading off, is the same bunch.
Ugh. Thomas, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate the heads up. I will check that one out. Oh, man. Hey, one more for the break. Here's one for you. By the way, if you can't pass school, just go have a protest and demand an A. That's where we are. HumanEvents.com, story came out 3 days ago. Students at New York Liberal Arts College demand an A grade for everyone. I don't think it even takes into account your attendance. I mean, did you show up? I don't know. Give them an A. Students at the private New York City Liberal Arts College called The New School are demanding that professors give every student an A grade for the semester as part of a rebellion against the school's leadership. How about disenroll these jokers? I mean, you hucksters, what do you think is going to happen in life? The dispute began when students occupied the school's university center on December 8th as a show of solidarity for faculty members who had gone on strike. And so they thought, well, if they're striking for better wages, we should strike for better grades. And so here we are, despite the strike ending on December 10th. Students then decided to publish their own set of demands, including A's for all students. We demand that every student receives a final course grade of A. You know what? I need to read that in a snowflake voice. We demand every student receives a final course grade of A, as well as the removal of any low grades for the fall 22 semester. Attendance shall have no... Oh, there it is. Attendance shall have no bearing. Yes. This is the future leadership of your nation right there. All right, tell you what, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back, wrap this up. I'm not even going to get to all the wokeness. Folks, I got too much. There's too much wokeness in the world. What's happening with the Ohio teacher who was forced out after refusing to affirm a gender identity in one of his students? Or how about the fact that the court has ruled that boys can continue dominating girls' sports up in Connecticut? The wokeness continues. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, the weather getting cold like it is this week, what a great opportunity for you to just make a trip to Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road out in Madison towards City Hall, the other one on South Parkway in Huntsville. Yeah, listen, this is the time. If you're thinking, you know what, I need a break, especially if you're one of those who works from home, listen, you can take the laptop there, use their Wi-Fi. They actually set it up so that you can have a place to hang out if you want to just hang out there for a bit. You don't have to, like, come and go. And literally, take a break during the day. Go get you the giant cup of cappuccino. I like all their coffees, lattes, espressos. They got the dry roast award-winning coffees. They can grind the beans fresh. But every once in a while, I likes me a big old cup of cappuccino, and I will just say that that is some good stuff. So, yeah, think about it. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. So worth checking out. And by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Hey, we're in the last segment of the day here. I'm not going to have time to cover all my stuff, Boomer. I mean,
no, you have a lot of stuff right there.
I got carried away. I think actually, you know what? There's so much woke in the world. How could I not have a stack?
That's
of stuff?
Exactly what it is.
Here's one, National Review. You know, Dr. Rachel Levine. That's formerly Richard Levine, now Rachel Levine, the one that likes to wear the admiral's dress. Biden's assistant health secretary, who aggressively advocates for medicalized gender transitions for minors, said of his own transition, "I have no regrets because if I had transitioned when I was young, then I wouldn't have my children. I can't imagine life without my children." Has it occurred to him, the article asks, that some of the children who he's encouraging to undergo sterilizing drugs and surgeries might later regret and not have the possibility of childhood or parenthood, excuse me, because of his own advice? What a great point. I mean, for the love. How about this one? Oregon. Brother, how come I keep bringing up Oregon? It's just
Oregon is just a little crazy right now.
I'm just saying Oregon. It's mostly the left side of Oregon. Well, that's a pun. The west side of Oregon. The coastal region of Oregon. I mean, east of the Cascades is like Alabama.
Just the big, giant cities.
Yes, exactly. RedState.com reports that Oregon decriminalized hard drugs for personal use and opt to stay the course despite the fact that they're having soaring overdose deaths. I mean, come on, people. Don't you see what you're doing to your own state? They decriminalized heroin, meth, fentanyl, and other hard drugs as long as it's for personal use, and their overdoses have skyrocketed, and yet they just decided to go ahead and maintain the policy and not recant that law. And so basically what they're doing is they're sentencing the people to more overdose deaths. That's the governance right now in Oregon. It's no wonder that multiple counties in eastern Oregon recently voted to have the right to secede to Idaho. They did. Like, how many was it, Boomer? Like a dozen counties in eastern Oregon all wanted to secede and go to Idaho. Is that right?
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
cut it all out.
They call it the Western Idaho Project or something like that. I forgot what they call it, but wow. Well, hey, listen. I mean, I've got more on here. I'm not going to be able to get to them all, but I will tell you this: the stand we have to take continues. All right. Do not lose sight of the fact that this is a world in which woke is going to keep trying to do its thing. It's up to conservatives to not sit quietly. Don't sit quietly. It's like I said earlier too. Don't be risk averse. Don't think for a second that if you just, you know, sit quiet and let them be what they want to be. No, at some point, if they got furries using litter boxes in your kid's school, you got to say something. At some point, if they've got you're paying good tuition for your kids to go to a college that wants to then tell people they can't use the word American because it might be offensive, you got to say something. I mean, it's just, ugh. We can laugh, we can roll our eyes, but at some point, you know, we may have to say something, and that's just where we are. Hey, last couple things I got for you. I do have to tell you this. The folks over at Riley and Jackson Law Firm have been sponsoring this show, and they are also, by the way, folks that I know personally. I've worked with them on issues. I've worked with them on cases, and they are good at what they do. And they're not just good on the law. They're good on politics, if you know what I'm saying. But Riley and Jackson, they're based out of Birmingham, but they work statewide, and they are working this Camp Lejeune water contamination thing. So if you have been in a position where you were at Camp Lejeune for any period of time, from 1953 to 1987, you may indeed qualify. They will not charge you for reviewing your case. They will not get paid unless they get a claim paid for you. Here's their number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Hey, I'm going to end on this as the music begins playing. I want to thank all of you who sent in your traditions. Darlene from Decatur had the one that I don't think I could read out the entire thing because it would tear me up. But I love the fact that her family still remembers every year her son Josh, who was killed in Afghanistan in 2009. Oh, boy. They give each other what they call Josh gifts to remember him by. Things that would sort of memorialize who he was to their family. What a beautiful, sweet tradition. Darlene, thank you for sharing that with us. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Back again tomorrow. Should have the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. You're going to want to be here. Boomer and I back at 2. We'll see you then. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.